Let's open our Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 10. We have 21 verses in this chapter, and it is amazing what happens here in this chapter. And I've got about 4 hours worth of notes here tonight, and probably will not even get to them. Probably just give you what I've studied on the overflow. This is an amazing chapter, and we'll probably be here for a couple of Wednesday nights. But let's begin reading in the first verse, and you follow along in your Bible. In verse 1, it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision." All right, now look at me. The amazing thing, and what you need to understand before we get into this chapter, is the vision that he is referencing here in verse 1 is not in the 10th chapter. It's in the 11th chapter. All right? And if you don't know that, if you don't understand that and see that, you're liable to get confused. He has the vision in verse 1. And he understood it. Now, why did he understand it? He understood it because he had already gotten a vision in chapter 7 and had it explained to him. And he got a vision in chapter 8 and he got it explained to him. And so what you're going to find in chapter 11 is basically a combination of the vision in 7 and the vision in 8. Is the Lord is, he gives him the vision of chapter 7 with part of his plan. He gives him the vision in chapter 8 with the same plan that was in chapter 7, but adds to it in chapter 8. Then in chapter 9, we had the great vision concerning the three eras or three epics or three stages of the vision, where he saw the 70 weeks. And now in chapter 11, God's going to just kind of put it all together for him. All right? But until we get to chapter 11, you won't know what the vision is. But we've got chapter 10 because something phenomenal happened in chapter 10 that the Holy Spirit, that God wants us to see and to know. All right? So please understand that verse 1 is very important, and you must get the timing of it in your mind, or you're going to get confused as you go through this chapter. So it was the third year of King Cyrus. Now, you remember in chapter 9, verse 1, it was the first vision that he, or the third vision that he had, was in the first year of Darius. All right. Now, Darius was the king under Cyrus. Cyrus was the head honcho. He was the main Medo-Persian king. And he had subdivisions of his kingdom. Darius was given Babylon. All right. So, in the third year that Cyrus was the king of the Medes and the Persians, Daniel had this vision. So 2 years after the first one that he had in chapter 9. Everybody got that? All right, now when he had this vision, he understood it. You will remember that in the previous two visions, or three visions, he told us, "I had this vision," then he tells you what it was, and then he said, "But I didn't understand it." All right? But now that the visions have been explained to him, When he has the vision of chapter 11, he understands it. He gets it. He knows what God is telling him in the vision. Okay, everybody got that? All right, it's real important that you understand that, or you're going to go to sleep on me. It's already warm in here. All right, look at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. No pleasant bread. Did he eat unpleasant bread? What does that mean? No. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that's the Tigris River, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ufaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now go back to verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning how many? 3 full weeks. And now this spokesman says to him in verse 12, from the day that thou didst set thine heart to understand. In other words, at the very beginning of the full 3 weeks, the first time you prayed, Daniel, you were heard. But yet 3 weeks have passed, and he's got no answer. Everybody understand that? All right, now look at it. He said, and to chasten thyself before God, verse 12, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, how long is 3 weeks? 21 days, okay? But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and read this whole chapter because I don't know what I'm going to do tonight, so I want to read the whole chapter. Look at verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. What vision? The vision he referenced in verse 1 that is going to be revealed to us in chapter 11. And when he had spoken such words unto me, verse 15, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb, speechless. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this Lord, my Lord, talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll start into this chapter. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depths of our heart for your wonderful word. And Lord, as we go into this 10th chapter tonight and look at these tremendous verses, I pray that you will bless us in a mighty way. And Lord, give us understanding of what is happening here. Open our understanding to your word. And Lord, as was quoted to Daniel, or as was said to Daniel, that what we're studying here is the scripture of truth. And so, Lord, give us that truth and teach our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, last week we were in the 9th chapter, and we looked specifically at verse 19 through verse 27, and we saw Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks. And we noticed how this vision covered three important eras or periods of time. God showed Daniel in this vision the period of time from when Cyrus let the Jews return from Babylon to their homeland, to the city of Jerusalem, and until that was the beginning of the vision, and that part of the vision lasted until the temple was finished and the worship started up again. And then there was a second set of weeks that was in his vision, and that was the period of time from the building of the temple, from the finishing of the temple and the dedication of the temple until the time of Christ. And you will remember that the time of Christ, that was the 69th week of Daniel's 70 years. And he told us that the Messiah would be cut off. All right, so that was the 69th week. And then there was the final week, Daniel's 70th week, which is yet to be fulfilled. And we see sandwiched in between week 69, where Christ was crucified, and week 70, which is when the Lord returns and raptures the church and the tribulation begins, we see sandwiched in between there what is to date almost 2,000 years period that Paul refers to as the church age, or as the age of grace. Now, that age of grace was a mystery in the Old Testament. Paul said in a couple of places in the New Testament that the New Testament church was a mystery. That what is a mystery? That is something that is not revealed, and it was not revealed. The church is not in the Old Testament per se. None of the prophecies of the Old Testament deal with the church. So the church this last 2,000 years is a New Testament concept, And God's Holy Spirit referred to it as a mystery. But we are now living in that mystery period. We're now living in the church age period, and we are awaiting the sound of the trumpet, which will end the church age and will begin Daniel's 70th week. All right, so once the church is safely in heaven and out of this world, when the Lord comes and calls us home, then Daniel's 70th week will begin. And that 70th week is a 7-year-long period of tribulation that will be sent upon the earth. And it is during that time that this Antichrist, that this abomination of desolation that that Daniel saw rise up, this is when the Antichrist will raise his head. This is when he will negotiate the peace treaty and bring peace to the Middle East, something that Reagan could not do, something that Carter could not do, something that either one of the Bushes have been able to do, something that Clinton could not do, but the Antichrist is going to do it. And he will negotiate this treaty with Israel and allow the Jews to rebuild their temple. And once the temple is rebuilt at the midpoint of the tribulation, he will break that covenant and he will blaspheme the temple. Now, Daniel saw all of this in his visions of chapter 7 and chapter 8 and chapter 9. Now, the point is, Daniel was given in his visions a glimpse or a view of the entire program of God. All right, from the end of the exile all the way through to the end of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist will be defeated and the Lord will begin his millennial reign. So Daniel saw all of this, and all of this is recorded for us in the Old Testament scriptures, and it parallels without fault with the New Testament book of the Revelation and with Paul's writings in 1 Thessalonians and in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 2 Thessalonians and in 2 Peter. It just parallels perfectly. All right, so we begin tonight with that understanding, and now a couple years have gone by. Remember, he had his first vision in first Medo-Persian vision in Cyrus's and Darius's first year, and now 2 years later, he has another vision. He has another revelation from God. Now, understand this. This will be Daniel's final vision. This is it. All right? Chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12, they all go together. And the vision is found in the 11th chapter. Okay? Chapter 9, Daniel learns, and thus we learn because it's recorded for our benefit, but Daniel learns that God's purposes and God's programs they're final. I mean, God says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. All right. Now, the 9th chapter, where he had the vision of the 70 weeks, Daniel there learned that God's programs and purposes have some gaps in them, and there are some delays, which would keep the 490 years, that's the 70 weeks of years, the 490 years from happening in succession. All right, there's been at least a 2,000-year gap between week 69 and week 70. All right, this chapter, the 10th chapter, he is going to learn and he is going to be taught, and of course, so are we, because it's written for our benefit, how prayer works, and he's going to learn why sometimes prayer is not answered in the time frame that we would like to see it answered. And so this chapter, this 10th chapter, is going to give us an extraordinary glimpse into how the mechanics of prayer work, and it's going to enable us to look at the spiritual forces that take sides for and against God's people in the unseen world. So this chapter is a prelude to the next, and the next is the one that contains the vision. And then the 12th chapter will be a postscript to that vision. But please understand that this is Daniel's last vision. Now, being the last one, God is going to fill in some of the gaps. Now, you might remember that up to this point, we know that the visions that he has received, we know that a lot of it, so far as Daniel was concerned, was future, right? All right, so here he is. When he gets his first one, and the Babylonians are still running things. And so what does God do? God gives him visions of some of the peaks along the way, all right, some of the high points. And it, as the visions increase, God gives more detail. And so by the time you get to the end of chapter 9, you know that the Medes and the Persians are in charge. The Babylonians were overrun, and the Medes and the Persians are now running the show. As the visions continue, God shows him high points. God shows him peaks. He shows him, for example, Alexander the Great and the Greeks. He shows him the southern kingdom of Greece once Alexander died and his kingdom was divided. And out of that southern kingdom comes this little tyrant who is known in history as Antiochus Epiphanes. And he is a little brutal dictator. And he desecrates the temple. And so God gives Daniel a vision of this little tyrant. Then God gives him the Romans. Then God, in chapter 9, shows him Jesus dying on the cross. All right, so do you see what's going on? The further you come in the visions, the more God is revealing to his man. All right, so this is the final one. And when we get to chapter 11, we're going to see some things that have not yet been revealed. You say, well, it just sounds to me like God just keeps giving him the same thing over and over. Not so. God gives him more information. And the neat thing about this 11th chapter, once we get there, is you're going to find that a lot of it has to do with Daniel's 70th week, which was not revealed in the previous visions. All right, so that's the stage that is set. Now, let me say one other thing before we get to this, start into this final section here. I guess this is more... When I read this, I sit and I read it over and over and over and over and over. I've probably read this 10th chapter 40 times in the last couple of weeks. And I try to put myself in the situation so I can explain it to you. All right. And here's kind of what I see happening. King Cyrus has given the order that the Jews can return to Jerusalem. And when that order was given, this allowed the Jews to pack up and go home. Now, many of them were more than happy to return. It is estimated that some 40,000 Jews left Babylon and went back to Jerusalem when Cyrus gave the order. But there were a large number of people who stayed in Babylon. You say, well, why did they stay? Well, let me give you for instance. Daniel was 94 years old. Would you want to travel 500 miles by camel? I wouldn't either. And so when given the opportunity, Daniel didn't go. There were a lot of folks that were in that same boat. And there were other folks who had successful businesses. There were other folks who had assimilated into Babylonian lifestyle and enjoyed it. And for whatever reason, they stayed. But the majority, according to history, left and went back to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about the old prophet now in his 90s. Babylon is all he has known from a time he was about 18 years of age. He has been blessed by God there. He has lived as royalty at every step of the way. But yet he is 94 years old. And so when the opportunity to go back came, he didn't take it. But his heart is still in Jerusalem. I want you to picture yourself or see in your mind's eye the old prophet wandering the streets of Babylon after the Jews have left. And he walks along, seeing shops closed, seeing homes empty, and he thinks to himself how badly he wishes he could have gone back and been able to live his remaining years and then die in his beloved home country. His home was Babylon, but his heart was Canaan. And so he comes to his house in Babylon, and he's lonely, and he's old, and he's discouraged, and maybe even some of his loved ones and dearest of friends have gone back to Jerusalem, and he sits alone with his books, with his parchments, with his memories, and with his prayers. And it is under these conditions that Daniel has his final vision that is recorded for us in chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. Now, let me take just a minute also before we get to it and refute the charges against this great vision. Daniel, you will notice in verse 1, said that this vision that he had, that is recorded for us in chapter 11, this vision covers a long period of time. And you're going to see that it does. It is the third year of Cyrus's reign. You've got many years left where the Medes and the Persians, you've got Cyrus, you've got Darius II, you've got Xerxes, then Artaxerxes. You've got a long line, a long succession of Medes and Persians. Then you've got the Greeks and Alexander and his reign. And then you've got the four kingdoms which were eventually overtaken by the Romans. And then you have the birth of Christ. And then you have 33 years later, Christ dying on the cross. And then you've got 2,000 years so far of the church. And then you've got the rapture. And then you've got the 7 years of tribulation. So as Daniel is sitting way back here, God giving him a vision of what is coming, he says, this vision is going to cover a long period of time. All right? A long period of time. Now, here's the thing. Daniel is one of the most criticized books in the Bible. The liberals and the Bible critics have taken the book of Daniel and they have hacked at it and chopped on it, and they have done everything they can to discredit and to disprove this book. Why? I'll tell you why. Because of its prophecy. They are against it because of its prophecy. Because the prophecy tells us the Savior is coming, and the Savior is going to come again. He came the first time, he's going to come a second time. And so if they can discredit that, then they're happy. And so here's what they've done. Daniel is sitting back here, seeing the whole kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, seeing the whole period of Alexander the Great and the Greeks, seeing all of the kingdoms of the Romans. He sees Antiochus, Epiphanes. He sees all this stuff. And the point is, Daniel says, this vision covers a lot of time. And so here's what the Bible critics do. In just one sentence in a book, that's all it takes. You don't have to have any proof. You don't have to have anything to support it. All you got to do is just make the statement. And this is what they say. They say, this book was not written by Daniel, but was written by a man many years later when Antiochus was ruling Jerusalem. So this is not a genuine prophecy, but is a forgery. And whenever you buy a commentary on Daniel, always go to the 10th chapter and read what the commentator says about verse 1. And if he says that this was not written by Daniel, but was written by a forger during the time of Antiochus, remember now, Daniel is back here, and Antiochus, you got to go all the way through the Medes and the Persians, you got to go all the way through Alexander the Great, and then you get to Antiochus, that little tyrant that came out of Syria. All right, so when you read in a commentary, or you buy a commentary on Daniel, turn to the 10th chapter and read what your commentator says about verse 1. Because one guy wrote this years ago, back in the 1800s. No proof, no validation, no substantiation. He did not believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And so years ago, he sat down and wrote a critical commentary on Daniel 10:1. And he said that this book of Daniel that's in our Bible was not really written by Daniel back here. It's not really a prophecy. What it is, it was written by a guy who was during Antiochus's reign, and he looked back at history and he penned these words and gave Daniel the credit for it. Now, folks, listen. Here it is, plain and simple. You either believe this book is the Word of God or you don't. All right? Now, if you don't, then you've got to come up with something to discredit it. And so one Bible-rejecting fool back here wrote in a book that Daniel didn't write this, that some guy wrote it looking back at the history during Antiochus's reign. And now every critical commentary that you read on the book of Daniel is going to have that line in it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Don't you find it funny? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and all that, they hated each other with a passion. But yet, they binded their hearts and bonded their hearts together in their attempt to crucify Jesus. And that's exactly what critical Bible critics do. They bind together. And there's no proof whatsoever for that statement at all. But that is more prevalent in Daniel 10:1. But look what Daniel said about this vision. Look at what he says. In verse 1, he said, I had the vision, and the thing was true. All right? Can I remind you that in the book of Romans, Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, this is in the Word of God. And I just happen to believe that it's true. And that's the way I'm teaching it, and that's the way I'm preaching it. All right? The thing was true, but the time appointed was long. All right? Now, what's he saying? He's saying, look here, I know. It's true. I got the vision, and this is a true vision. Why could he say that? Because it paralleled with the vision he got right back here. And it paralleled with the vision that he got right back here. And it paralleled with the vision that he got right back here. And then it paralleled with Nebuchadnezzar's vision that God gave Daniel the understanding of when he was a teenager. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He called his soothsayers in and said, you tell me, first of all, my dream, and then you interpret it for me. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. I'll know you're a fake. And so word got back to Daniel, we're all dying tomorrow. Daniel said, why are we dying? Well, because the king had a vision. And he said, if we don't interpret the vision, we're dead. Daniel said, I'll go talk to him. God will tell me what the vision is. So Daniel went to talk to him, and God told Daniel Nebuchadnezzar's dream and then interpreted it for him. So why did Daniel know that it was true? Because this was at least the fourth time that God had opened his eyes and showed him what was happening. And Daniel has lived through a lot of what God had already given him. And if all that came true, who was Daniel to say that the rest of it was not going to come true? You with me on that? All right. So, look at your Bible, please. All right. Now, that's just the introduction. And it's 8:05. Mercy. All right. What do I want to do? I've got so much. All right. Well, let's just stay on course, okay? If we don't, what we don't get tonight, we'll do next week. Look at verse 2. Are y'all in a hurry?
No.
Okay, so I'll stay on course. I am dying to go off course. I mean, literally just wanting to. There's so much. All right, look. All right, let's stay in verse 1, okay? Here it is, folks. This is it. If you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, you'll have no problem with this vision. If you don't, you would want to make up some scenario that could explain it away as a fraud. But notice that Daniel tells us when he received the vision. He said that it was in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus, not in the days of Antiochus. This is nothing more than Daniel's own words, which tell us that he received this prophetic vision from God and that it was not a forgery. It's almost like Daniel knew, although the Holy Spirit did know, but it was almost like Daniel knew that in the late 1800s, some agnostic Bible critic was going to write that this book was a forgery. And so he tells us in verse 1 that it's not. So if the Bible critics refute this, he is doing it on purpose. That Bible critic is doing it on purpose because simply he does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Now that's just all there is to it, folks. And notice that Daniel said that his prophecy would cover a long period of time. Let me say one more thing about that. Between the Jews being allowed to return and the city of Jerusalem being rebuilt and the temple being restored and Christ coming into the world and Christ being cut off and being crucified and the coming rapture and the coming of the Antichrist and the defeat of the Antichrist and then the establishment of our Lord's millennial kingdom, Daniel understood now that this would take many, many years to unfold. And folks, that's the wonder of this whole matter of prophecy, that God has a plan and that plan is revealed to us in the Scriptures. And you will not find that plan any other place. You're not going to find God's plan, God's prophetic plan in the encyclopedia. You're not going to find it in Reader's Digest. You're not going to find it in Time Magazine. It's in the Bible. And you will either believe it or you won't believe it, but you're not going to find it any other place. It's like I said to you a couple weeks ago, half of this great plan has already happened, and just it happened just exactly as it was given, so we certainly can expect the other half to be fulfilled exactly as it was given. Now, if you're a Bible critic and you don't believe God, it would only be natural for you to deny it and to try and explain it away or to try to discredit the message. But Daniel said, 3 years in the King Cyrus's reign, I had a vision, And this vision was true, and it was God's whole plan for the ages, and it would encompass many years before it was all fulfilled. So if you don't want to believe it, that's your problem. I know it was from God. And that's basically what he's saying in that first verse. All right? Everybody understand that? I didn't want to take time to do that, but I felt I needed to. Let me show you something else, and then we'll be done. Look at verse 2 and 3. Notice that this vision that he had caused him to fast and pray. All right? The vision is not going to be unveiled until chapter 11. So we're told in verse 1, he understood the thing. Now, we don't know what the thing is yet because we haven't got there. But he had the vision in chapter 1. And when he had the vision, he understood it. So whatever the vision is, when we get to it, if you skip ahead, read ahead, you'll know what it is. But whatever the vision is that he gets in verse 1, it drives him to pray. All right? It drives him to fast and to pray. Now, fasting in the Bible is never a prescribed ritual, nor is it some kind of spiritual lever that you push to try and force God's hand. True fasting is brought on by a spiritual burden, by a brokenness of heart before the Lord. It is brought on by a great need that takes away your desire for the physical, takes away your desire for food, or that overweighs the demands of the physical with the demands of the spiritual. Amen. All right, now think of what Daniel would have been burdened over. Now remember, Cyrus has given the order. You can go back to Jerusalem. Most of them left. Daniel stayed. Daniel is now getting a fourth vision. He's already had previous visions. He knows what's coming. When he gets the next vision, the one that's recorded in chapter 11, it's more detailed. And in this vision, I'll just go ahead and tell you, in this vision, things are going to get rough for the people of God. It talks about God's chastisement upon them. It talks about them being scattered. It talks about pestilence and death. It talks about the nations of the world hating them. And so here he is now, standing here. All his people are gone. They've gone back to Jerusalem. They are people that he cares for and loves. And so he's sitting there now knowing what is coming, knowing that the Messiah is going to be cut off, knowing that the Greeks are going to come, knowing that Alexander, who is going to be a brutal man, knowing that the Romans are going to crucify people and just kill them left and right with their tyranny. He knows all this. He has been given this in visions. And so when all the people are gone, here he is standing alone in Babylon, and he is grieving for his people. And don't forget, he's God's man. Those people are on his heart. And so looking down a long road, he sees what's in store for his people. And what's he do? He does what he has always done in this book. He falls to his knees. You got that? All right. He falls to his knees. He's burdened over his people. He's burdened because he understood, verse 1, the vision. He knows what's coming. All right. Now, what happened? Look at it. I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, let me ask you a question. This is the man, Daniel. This is the man who prayed and God gave him Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation of it. This is the man who no doubt prayed for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and they weren't destroyed in the fiery furnace. This is the guy that got arrested for praying in the window. Remember? And they said, you pray, and we're going to throw you in the lion's den. Daniel said, throw away. So they did. They threw him in the lion's den. And God made pillows out of the lions. Came in the next morning, and there's Daniel down there laying his head on a lion's belly, just sleeping away. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, when he prays, gets answers. Look at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. What? 3 weeks? You've been praying for 3 weeks, Daniel, and you didn't get an answer? Yeah, it blew his mind too. He didn't understand it. But you'll notice he didn't quit praying. And so what happens? Oh, man. I can't quit now. Watch. All right, watch. I'll quit after this, I promise. Here's Daniel, 3 weeks. 3 weeks he's been praying, nothing. And all of a sudden, somebody shows up. Who? Who? The Lord Jesus shows up. Look at this. I lifted verse 5 mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. Go read Revelation 1. Whose loins were girded with fine gold. His body was like beryl. His face is the appearance of lightning. His eyes is a lamp of fire. His arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. He is praying. 3 weeks have gone by, and all of a sudden, boom, there's Jesus. Now, here, I'm just going to mention this, and y'all study it, and then next week we'll get into it. All right, look here. All right, look at verse 9. He said, Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. All right, so Jesus showed up, spoke to him, boom, he passed out. You would too. All right, look at verse 10. Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this unto me, I stood trembling. All right, let's see. He said, from the verse 12, he said, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of Persia stopped me. All right, now, watch. Here's what I think happened. Let me tell you this. You go home and study it. Next week we'll get into it. Here's what I think happened. Here's old Daniel. He's over here praying. 21 days. This angel said to him, the first day you prayed, I tried to get to you with the answer. But I was stopped. I was hindered. There was a prince of Persia, which was a fallen angel. Satan is the god of this world. You remember that? All right? This demon that was powerful was overseeing Persia, and this angel, this messenger, was given the answer from Daniel's prayer the first day he gave it, and this angel starts to come. Where is Daniel? He's in Babylon. Babylon is a Persian city now. And so when this angel is coming with the answer, a war breaks out between spiritual beings. And this angel is prevented from coming to Daniel. 3 weeks goes by, and finally this angel goes back to headquarters and says, we got a problem. What's wrong? Well, I can't get through. The enemy has it too tight. I can't get through. Here's what I think happened. I think the Lord Jesus was sitting on the throne, and the angel said, I can't get through. And the Lord Jesus said, Michael, come on, we'll fix this. And they showed up where Daniel was. Now, it's interesting. You read this and see what you think. The Lord Jesus was there. There's no doubt about it. Michael was there. He's the warrior angel. And he was there. And this other angel, this messenger from God, who was probably Daniel's personal angel, assigned by God, this angel was there. Now you read the chapter in that light and see if it doesn't bless your heart. Okay? We're out of time. We got to quit. But listen, don't miss next Wednesday night. All right? These 7-day commercials in between prayer meetings are, it gets old, doesn't it? All right, well, read chapter 10 in that light that I just gave you, and it'll make a whole lot more sense to you.